What makes a champion? Beyond talent and luck lies something more fundamental, a relentless commitment to preparation, accountability, and team-first thinking. Bill Belichick's coaching philosophy transcends football, offering wisdom for anyone seeking excellence in their field. With 8 Super Bowl rings and a reputation for tactical brilliance, his approach isn't built on motivational speeches or charisma, but on a deceptively simple question. What can I do to help our team win? This question has guided his decisions through nearly 5 decades of coaching, from his early days as an assistant to becoming arguably the greatest coach in NFL history. His methods have influenced not just football teams, but business leaders, military strategists, and anyone pursuing excellence in competitive environments. Big games aren't fundamentally different from regular ones. It's everything surrounding them that changes. For every triumphant moment and swirling confetti, thousands of quiet preparations preceded it. The pressure of championship moments often tempts coaches to change their approach, but consistency wins championships. Before our first Patriot Super Bowl against the heavily favored Rams, we simply executed our game plan with precision. Instead of blitzing Kurt Warner as in our regular season loss, we focused on disrupting Marshall Faulk and physically challenging their receivers. Success came from imposing our will on circumstances, not waiting for advantageous moments. I've always emphasized that Super Bowls are business trips, not fan experiences. When the NFL insisted we follow their script for player introductions in 2002, we entered as a team rather than having individual starters announced, an extension of our season-long philosophy. Whether it's an off-season practice or the Super Bowl, our process remained identical. What matters isn't experience, but approach, the willingness to do whatever it takes to help your team succeed, regardless of the spotlight's intensity. Fans love dramatic locker room speeches, but I've never been that coach. While a leader's message matters, motivation doesn't come from shouting nonsense. My approach is practical. Identify problems and fix them. With minimal locker room time, I prioritize confirming adjustments with coordinators before briefly summarizing what we need to do. When scouting players, I look beyond talent to whether they truly love what they do. Surprisingly, many professionals don't actually care about the game. The best players invest everything because they can't imagine doing anything else. Football completely energizes me. Love of the game players don't need external motivation. As head coach, I can't individually motivate 70 players, 15 coaches, and 20 support staff daily. I need people who are intrinsically driven to be great and contribute to a great team. Reputation often cuts deeper than glory. Before big games, I'd sometimes target players' pride. You were supposedly old and washed up. This focused them on silencing doubters. When you pull together, the effect becomes multiplicative. No individual victory feels as good as a team victory. Success isn't a straight line, but requires constant self-assessment. One good outcome could be random, sustained success reveals an author behind victories rather than luck. Elite players like Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady use success to fuel further improvement. After a Chiefs win that improved their record to 3-0, Mahomes criticized his own performance. "I feel like I haven't played very well. I'm missing opportunities." Similarly, Brady would say after a 28-10 win, "We should have scored 45. By acknowledging shortcomings, even in victory, these leaders send a clear message. What seems acceptable now won't suffice later. The secret to handling success is balancing what works with innovation. This starts with embracing dissatisfaction, focusing on errors even in victory. Whatever brought one championship eventually becomes part of opponent's strategies, diminishing its effectiveness over time. The margin between wins and losses is incredibly thin. Roger Federer won 80% of matches despite winning only 54% of points. You need just 51% to claim a win, but if you're serious about continued success, focus on the 49% you lost. Building an effective team requires knowing what you want and accurately evaluating what you have. Good roster construction balances your vision with the people who execute it. When assessing prospects, determine how important their work is to them. While everyone needs maintenance, understanding their motivation is crucial. Are they respected teammates who elevate others? Look beyond credentials for actual performance ability. Functional talent outweighs raw measurements. Troy Brown wasn't the fastest receiver, but excelled in quickness, balance, and spatial awareness. I must realistically envision any prospect competing with current team members. If I can't picture them having a chance, they likely won't succeed. True competitiveness shows in preparation and performance, intensity, work ethic, and focus. Do they merely survive practice or treat every opportunity as a chance to improve? When abilities are similar, I'll always choose the more competitive person. Mental toughness is essential. How do they handle adversity? Are they self-motivated? Mental toughness means prioritizing the team even when conditions aren't ideal for you. Four words have become essential to any high-functioning team. I fucked that up. These words delight colleagues until they realize everyone must reciprocate. As leader, I should say it first and loudest, though everyone shares responsibility. Taking accountability creates a culture where mistakes are ventilated, not hidden. When leaders admit errors, it permits others to do the same. This solves problems quickly, especially during critical moments. I value when team members take responsibility and commit to improvement. It eliminates confusion and prevents unnecessary adjustments. Why isn't accountability universal? Because blaming others is easier. As a leader, if someone performs poorly, you likely failed to teach them properly. Nothing earns respect faster than taking responsibility and promising improvement. Those who never acknowledge mistakes cannot lead effectively. Acknowledgement matters only if it reduces future errors. I follow two rules. Avoid big mistakes, which typically happen when we get distracted or ignore process, and avoid mistakes made for the wrong reasons, usually ego or attachment to outdated methods. I never created the phrase Patriot Way. Our culture was developed collaboratively with players, not imposed on them. A commitment to a personal code aligned with collective goals. Culture doesn't do things, it creates circumstances for people to perform. Ours featured 8 simple principles displayed at our facility entrance, not motivational slogans, but expectations for everyone. Do your job means focusing on your responsibilities without overstepping. Work hard means using time effectively. Be attentive means noticing all details. Put the team first was exemplified by Rob Gronkowski, who sacrificed catching passes to block without complaint. Culture requires embodiment. Dante Scarnecchia, our offensive line coach for 36 seasons, was crucial to our success. His tough coaching style was accepted because it aligned with team expectations. My philosophy follows team, teammate, self, in that order. The question, what can I do to help my team win, has guided my career. Winning isn't about glory. It's about building something greater through preparation, accountability, and commitment to shared purpose.